I just send him a basic rundown of what happened at Tauwera, how I go about things. I send him my weekly diet or my nutrition that I have, you know, week in, week out, and what I do in a race, and he's just like, yeah, no, we gotta go back to the, not go back to the drawing board, but there's a lot of stuff we can work on here. And what I actually did do is I went and got a DNA test.
Kia ora koutou. That was Carl Reed. I'm Eugene Bingham. This is Dirt Church Radio. Interesting conversations with interesting runners.
Last week, I sniffed your shoes.
You did.
You wouldn't want to be
two sniffing. Weeks in a row, in fact.
You wouldn't want to be sniffing my shoes because I've been tearing up hill and dale in the Kinabalu 2.0. Scott, amazing shoe. The only disconcerting thing I will say about it is that the upper looks, and I say looks, a little bit less technical, a little bit less racy than the RC model. So I kind of, when I look down, I think, oh, I'm wearing casual shoes, but then I'm not.
Because they do look good.
Absolutely fantastic.
They do look good, yeah.
Have you been getting about in the cruise?
Yeah, on the roadies.
Are they good?
On the roadies, they're good.
Yeah,
good old roadies. Like a pair of good roadies.
So not just for trail Scott shoes. You've got the road, you've got the Scott Cruise, which is a...
I've got my Scott bike too.
Road shoes, you've got a Scott, it's different. Yeah. Same but different.
Sorry.
Your mate Scott.
I got a mate Scott, my coffee name Scott.
Coffee name Scott, we'll go into that later. But derailment aside, yeah, if you go to scottrunning.nz, check out the new Kinabalu R. No, not the RC.
They're in Scott. Oh, stock.
Yeah, they're in Scott. Stock. They're in stock. Kinabalu 2.0, fantastic shoe. Loving it on the winter trails around Riverhead.
Get amongst it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you go to wildthings.club.
Yes.
Like plenty of you have, and using the DCR code DCR2021, you can cop yourself a good deal.
You can cop yourself a good deal.
You can get 15 months worth of VIP membership for the price of 12.
Yeah.
What's more, Mal and Sal, they give us a little bit of each time.
They do. They give us a bit of a ooh la la and they're happy. We're happy.
Yeah. But and it means you can do a whole bunch of things when you're a VIP member.
New,
you get amongst
new
some
winter
challenges.
Yep. The goat challenge. As many gnarly runs from the Wild Things Trail Directory as you can, and those are the gnarl factor of 60 plus, which I don't like to even think about what that would be, the metric for that.
Big gnarl factors. You get to avail yourself of the discounts at the shop.
Yep, fantastic.
Online
discounts.
Shop.
The library.
The library. Oh, it's just everything.
Yeah, there's a ton.
It's everything.
And the collegiality of knowing that you're surrounded with like-minded people. So if you go to wildthings.club.
You get these little notifications from Mal to the VIP lounge.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting too. Mm. But yeah, wildthings.club, use the code DCR2021, score yourself a deal.
Ooh la la.
Do it.
It goes something like further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go further, faster now.
Oh, further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go further, faster now.
Dirtchurch Radio.
Episode 147. We made it. Well, one of us made it. Matt, as you'll have noticed, wasn't at the top of the show. And so this is a bit of a strange one for me. I am missing my mate because he is right now, as I record this, sitting at A&E with one of his delightful daughters, Lola, who took a fall on some slick tiles and has a suspected broken elbow. This all happened just as we were about to record. So, yeah, as I say, he's sitting there waiting for the results of the x-ray and things. They're hanging out with the hospital cat, I can report, in the emergency room. But I don't know any more updates than that. Get well soon, Lola. Hope it's okay. Hope it's not hurting too much and those pain meds are doing their job. And it's, yeah, so it's a bit of a funny one this week. So it'll just be me But I do have our guest, Carl Reed. He's back, second time appearing on the show. Woke's finest, really. Former pro Ironman athlete, two-time winner of Ultraman, Taupo 100K winner, and, of course, he's had that ongoing battle with Tarawera 100-miler 2020 and 2021. He DNF'd, but he's coming back for next year. So we have a deep dive into all of that, the mentality that he's taking, or the mentality it takes to take on a race that, you know, has become a bit of a thing, and where he's come from. Of course, we covered a lot of that last time around, but it's great to catch up and have a bit more of a deep dive with Carl. He's such a legend. Look, it was great to catch up with the legend Paul Charteris last week, and Colin. Fantastic to get his wise thoughts on the Ironman UTMB partnership and the China situation. Paul's, I mean, not so much Colin's. He didn't really contribute much. Sorry, mate, but, you know, was bedtime. Now, look, I'll keep this brief because you don't want to hear me blathering away on my own. It's not the same without Matt here. I am naro lost without my mate. So, but don't forget that Tarawera giveaway entry. So have a look at our social media posts. You've got till tomorrow if you're listening to this on Wednesday. So Thursday, I should have the date to that, shouldn't I? See, that's the thing. When Matt's not here, I'm just not very organised. So get in to us. Hang on, I'm actually going to check some facts here. How about that? This is live. This is terrible. Yeah, we want you to get to us and tell us, write into us, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com, and tell us someone who you think should get our entry that Tarawera Ultra has given us for the, there we go, you've got till next Thursday, the 23rd. Next Thursday, the 23rd, to tell us someone who you think would be great to see line up at Tarawera for the 21, 50 or 102k events. Tarawera were very generous and gave us an entry to give away, and we decided the best way to do that, in keeping with the whole kaupapa of our show and the community, was to ask you to sort of nominate someone who would be worthy of that. So you've got till the 23rd, as I said, to let us know, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And we will make a call on that and then announce the winner on the show following. So, I'm getting pictures of this cat in the emergency room that Matt's hanging out with. Anyway, there we go. Get well soon, Lola. Matt actually was a bit sick, but Mawiwi, during the week. So he missed out on a couple of days running, but as our mate Harry said to him, you know, he was feeling a bit sort of down in the dumps about it. And our mate Harry said to him, what, so you missed 4 days of running? You know, life goes on. You'll be okay. And Harry, of course, broke 3 of his 4 limbs last year. So, you know, bit of a perspective there. So Matt is back into training after getting well again, and he's looking forward to W2K, as am I. I was briefly down in Wellington at the end of last week, and I toyed with the idea of going and checking out Tip Track, and then thought, no, I'm going to leave that particular joy until the day of the race. Plus, it wouldn't be the same without the Grim Reaper at the top, would it? So, but I did get out and do a bit of a wee bit of a scoot around on the hills, which I enjoyed, and I can't wait for W2K, July 17. As I said, I'll keep this brief, but I will give you some results from the weekend. So why don't we do this? There you go, just like a normal show. Mount Difficulty Ascent, the Terry Davis special that just breaks many hearts and lungs and legs. Anyway, in the 44K, it looked like they had stunning conditions this year. Didn't have the usual gusts and snow up there. Looked a beautiful, beautiful day. I was kind of jealous. But tough as always. So what is there, something like 3,000 metres of vert in that race in the 44K? But anyway, in the 44K, Rose Pearson, 5:54.13 was triumphant. Robin Lesh, 6 hours flat. and Fleur Palsy in 6:19:25. And in the men, Thomas Hadley, 4:46:34. He romped home. Gavin Dale, 4:58:29. And Oak Jones, 5 hours flat and 12 seconds. Is that right? Yes. Yes, that's right. 5:00.12. Yeah. The marathon distance was taken out by Aaron Porter in 3:42:09. The 25K was won by Maeve Kennedy in 2:58:43 for the women and Ryan Carr for the men in 2:28:17. The half marathon was won by Lydia Patillo in 1:51:43 for the overall and the women's titles, and Jeffrey Byrne for the men in 1:53:40. Exterra in Auckland was at Waitawa Regional Park, and in southeast Auckland, which has those stunning views out over the Firth of Thames. It's a beautiful looking course. So in the super long, Greer Logue 1:46:34 was first, Kirsten Milne 1:57:34 was second, and Sophie Broom 2:05:25 was third. And in the men's, Jacob Hendricks 1:30:21, Max Thompson 1:32:17, and David Atkinson 1:33:20. In the long course, Bridie Hart 1:23:04, and for the men, Aaron Jackson 1:06:01. And in the mid-course, Stella Hammond, 50 minutes and 49 seconds. And for the men, George Mawson, 45:38. Both of those were in the teenage category, age 13 to 19, by the way. Speedy youngsters. In the short course, Danica Clooney, 35:09. And for the men, Otis Oliver Chambers, 32:24. Oh, it's quite a lot of work doing this on your own. Anyway. In Wellington, it was the fifth and final of the Exterra series down there, and this was at Makara, down on the coast there. In the long course, Grace White, 1:53:29, was the winner. Judith May, 2:05:14 for second, and Angela Clark, 2:13:54. And for the men, Tom Peck, 1:35:23. Walter Somerville, 1:36:48, and Aaron Lynch, 1:37:46. In the medium course, Susanna Lynch, 1:06:27, Sal Lennon, 1:22:49, and Leah Horsley, 1:24:18. And for the men, Christian Davey, 1:08:14, Ruan Ferreira, 1:08:31, ooh, close there, and Matthew Benica, 1:13:32. In the short course, it was Emma Kew in 44:39, and Jacob Kilmister in 38:37. Look, I'm going to skip over Greatest Run Ever this week because it's quite a special one, actually, and I think I'll save it for when Matt is here. But do send in your Greatest Runs Ever. It is one of our favourite parts of the show, and it's the bit where we ask you to run in and tell us your Greatest Run Ever. It doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit or that time you won Exterra or came 77th. It might just be a run around the block, something that's sung to you for some reason. Send it into us, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. I'll save that one for next week. Look, let's get on with the show. Carl Reed, that's who you've come to listen to, not me, wittering away. So, as I said, Carl Reed, he's a former pro Ironman athlete from Waiuku, south of Auckland, two-time winner of Ultraman, Taupo 100K winner, and we have a great talk about Tarawera 100 miler, which he's going back to for the third time, hoping to finally pick up that Ponamu in 2022, and has some valuable insights into what it takes to be at the top of your game. So, without further ado, Carl Reed.
Dirtchurch Radio.
Okay, well, joining us on the line from the bustling metropolis of Waiuku is Carl Reed. Welcome to the show again, Carl.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it's great.
Good to chat.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're about to head off, leave the bustling metropolis of Waiuku and go to Brisbane.
Yeah, fly out first thing Thursday morning, and hopefully the weather's all right over there at the moment. I think it's cool in the mornings but warms up during the day, but as long as I can get out of this wind and rain and the sort of average weather we're having here, I'm sort of looking forward to getting over there.
Yeah, get away from the Auckland winter. I mean, it's been pretty mild, hasn't it? But just be good to get away from the rain.
I mean, it's not cold at the moment, but yeah, you just get a bit sick of the wind and the rain, especially when you've been training for 2.5-3 months sort of thing. You just want to get over and race, really.
Yeah. So tell us about the race that you're going over for.
It's the Brisbane Valley Rail Trail 100 miler. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, Alan, is the race director over there, and his wife crewed for me at Ultraman 2018 and 2019. She was my paddler in the swim.
Yep.
So I just got to know them through that. And then, you know, he runs it's AAA Racing. He's the coach and director of that, and they hold hold events all the time, like those last man standing type races and stuff. And then so they've had this Brisbane Valley Rail Trail going for a while. I was actually meant to go last year, but COVID obviously put a stop to that.
Yeah.
And this year, I was super keen to get over there. An opportunity that, you know, I can get another 100 miler attempt in and see how I go on a different terrain, different course. Totally different to Tatawera.
Yeah.
And as soon as that bubble opened up, I booked tickets and jumped in. Yeah.
Brilliant. Is it a point to point or laps or, and what sort of terrain is it?
Point to point, you go out to a township called Yarraman, and you run basically point to point down to Ipswich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all on the Brisbane Valley Rail Trail, which I actually don't know the full distance of it. I think it's 400 or 500 kilometres long.
Wow. Yeah.
Something like that. Point to point, which is cool. And it's all sort of runnable trail.
Yeah.
And not a huge amount of elevation.
Yeah.
Sort of half the amount of Tatawera, I think. And from what I heard, found out is you don't probably need trail shoes.
Yeah.
You can get away with, good cushioned road shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So totally different. I thought, why not? So training's been going pretty well, and it's going to try to get that monkey off my back. Not the Tatawera monkey, but the miler monkey, I'm calling it, and see how we go. Again, I think, like in the recent video that 7/8 released, my all-in one, I'm not probably going to change the way I race.
Yeah.
I've changed a few things in this lead up and a few things with nutrition, hydration, introducing a little bit of core and stability work, sort of a trainer helping me out with that, a guy called Josh Webb over in Australia. He's based in Melbourne from 1% Performance.
Yep.
So he's been awesome just with nutrition and supplements and recovery stuff.
I saw you in an ice bath at one point.
Yeah. It's just out here outside my office window. It's an old trough that was down in the paddock.
Yeah.
So I brought that up and hopped into that. I've been doing breathing exercises to help with my anxiety and stuff like that. The old Wim Hof.
Yep.
Stuff. So been right into that. So that's, just trying to tick all these other boxes that I've left unattended for a long time.
Mm. That's really interesting. So, I mean, obviously, you're an amazingly accomplished athlete and you know how to suffer. You know how to go long and keep going. But you're still looking for those little, 1%.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of got to the point where, after Tatawera, it was, again, I pushed things to the limits and it didn't go my way again. But I sort of took a step back and thought to myself, if I'm going to continue pushing these races as I do, and not changing the way I race, what else can I change to or look at to help improve my performance? And, yeah, I looked back at Talwira and the nutrition, the calories that were not going in, and the hydration and stuff like that, and it was nowhere near what I need.
Yeah.
When I'm racing at that intensity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was looking at all these little things and getting Josh on board and obviously talking to a bit more in depth with Craig Kirkwood, my run coach.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, if you're going to continue at the elite level at these super long races, we need to knuckle down a few things and focus on the last 2 months of, you know, I was going out for a 3-hour run, taking like a backpack full of carbs and calories, and I just could not get it all. Yeah, it was like Paula, my wife, said to me, are you going to try to eat all that? And I said, well, that's based on what I've worked out. That's what I need. And she goes, she knew straight away that I wouldn't. And sure enough, I got back after 3 hours and I'd only eaten a third of it.
Yeah.
And half of it I coughed up running along, one of the roads out here at Waiuku, because I just running at the pace I do, I can't seem to digest or want to eat, so I've gone to Infinite Nutrition.
Yep.
Your liquid nutrition, and it's custom blend to me. It's got exactly what I want in it or need. I had a sweat test done.
Yep.
And that was super interesting. From Precision Hydration, Russell there, he sorted me and my mate, good mate Simon Cochrane out.
Yep.
With sweat tests, and like amazing what sodium I lose per hour, per liter of sweat, compared to say what I was putting in at Talwira.
Right. What do you remember?
You're probably talking. So we did a sweat test. It said I lose 550 milligrams of sodium per liter of sweat, but then you got to work out your sweat rate.
Yep.
So I sweat quite a lot. So even though my sodium loss is sort of mid-range, I lose more than that in an hour.
Right. Yeah.
So up to close to around 900.
Right. Wow.
Milligrams an hour, yeah. So it's super interesting. I'd recommend any athlete to go get it done.
Yeah.
Because basically I think what I was doing was I wasn't getting enough sodium in.
Yeah.
And I was basically overhydrating with water.
Yeah.
Because I was getting thirsty. And then it's what they call hyponatremia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you dilute all the sodium, and then you basically, your muscles just have nothing left, and then you can actually then go into a coma, and
it can be really dangerous.
It can be really, really dangerous. And I sort of found that out, and that adapted into the Infinite Nutrition. So what I've worked out is what I need per hour, and for me, in liquid form in a little flask, diluting that with water. I went out for a 5-hour run and went through 5 flasks, and I think that worked out to be 400 grams of carbs.
Yeah.
In 5 hours. And Simon was like, are you okay? Because this is not how you do things. You go to the Coke and the Red Bull and which I haven't, which now I've gone away from, because that's just a short fix.
Yeah, and just thinking the sugar peaks.
A lot of interesting stuff like that. So really just fine-tuning all, the 1%. And I've had niggles after niggles since Talwira.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been doing core or stability or mobility stuff. I've just been running and found, I've got just no glute activation, no strength here, there, and everywhere. I can run fast, but that's no good for, for 10 hours plus racing, especially 100 miles.
Yeah. I'm going to show my ignorance here, but I'm guessing that when you're training for an Ironman, you're using a lot more of, or you're using muscles differently. So when you start just run training more, are you missing out on some of the things that you used to get without even kind of having to build it into your training, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So, yeah, like my swimming is non-existent at the moment because I'm just focusing so much on running. When I was training for Ironman and, you know, I was swimming 25K a week and that just helped with the, well, one, keeping a bit of muscle on.
I
at the moment I'm barely 70 kilos. I'm skin, well, I say I'm skin and bone. My I think I'm like 6% body fat.
Wow.
So I got no reserves. So and I'm eating like for two people.
Yeah.
You know, but you're just burning it off. Whereas sort of, I suppose Ironman, you're able to fuel, like when you're out for a 5-hour bike ride, you can bike along at 35K an hour and you can still eat and eat, you know, bars and stuff like that. Whereas, I don't know, I suppose, and it was actually bad habits getting an Ironman. I'd be, you know, a Sunday run would be 2.5-hour run and I'd go out with a flask of water.
Because you can,
and that's all you needed to run.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was breaking that habit.
Yeah.
So even on my shorter runs now, I'm taking calories with me just to get into the habit and routine of taking something in.
Because your body does need to adapt. Key. It's a thing that your body needs to learn how to do. When you think about it, you know, Scotty Hawker had all that trouble at UTMB a few years ago where basically his guts was jumping around so much with liquid in it that it caused sort of, you know, physical problems. If your body's not used to it and you're not, you know, at speed especially, then of course you're going to run into trouble. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. And there's some photos from Tauwera where, you know, I've got that bloated looking feel, you know, like, and it's, you know, overhydrating and it's the sloshing of this, you know, it's, and I'll be the first to admit, I went in there with a really basic plan of hydration and nutrition.
Yep.
I wouldn't even call it a plan. It was more like, I think this will work.
Yeah.
Based off what happened the previous year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was far from it being what I needed and that. So it's been a good learning experience.
Shit, yeah. So is that what you think happened in 2020 as well? Same issue when you look back?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you change anything in terms of your nutrition those, or did it just not even occur to you that that was the issue?
I just thought I needed more calories.
Right.
And this year I thought I was doing, you know, doing it right, but when I look back at it and look at that first probably 60 Ks of that race, what I should have had versus what I did have was, again, nowhere. It was better than the previous year, but it was a long way off where it should have been. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I was literally fueling in for the moment, not fueling for that back end 40 Ks, which I didn't, and again, I didn't complete.
So
I got to that point where my body, I think I got to about 100 Ks reasonable, and then just through sheer grit and determination, I managed to clock up another 26. Looking at all the stuff I've looked at over the last couple of months, it's, you know, it's like, shit, no wonder I conked out it, you know, at that point of the race.
Yeah. And because that's, you know, you've got a big demand on you then as well, you know, going up that Western Okatina and you've already got 120 plus Ks in your legs. So no wonder your fuel tank's empty.
That was the final straw, that stupid 4K hike. That absolutely just broke me.
Yeah.
It broke not only the body, but just broke me mentally as well. Yeah. And I couldn't, because I didn't do it the previous year, I had no idea what I was in for.
All right.
Because it was the one, so in 2020, that's where I pulled out, was at Okatina. But I continued on this time and got 6 Ks further.
Yeah.
Um, So,
and that was,
yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks, and it just goes on and on. So, was there a? I think I heard that there was a medic or somebody there who took a look at you.
Yeah. So my pacer Mitch was with me, and I sort of said to him, "Look, mate," I said, "I don't think I'm in a good way, but let's truck on and let you know." I was trying to eat. He had his watch set, and I was trying to eat, but again, by that point, it was too late.
Too late. Mm.
So we got to the top, and my legs just felt completely like there was just nothing left in my muscles. And it just happened to be that I sort of, we stumbled into the clearing where the medic was, and it was 10 Ks to that next aid station.
Yeah, Miller Road.
Miller Road?
Yeah.
And he sort of looked at me and he's like, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "Come sit down." And as soon as I sat down, that was it. I basically started sort of shaking, and mentally I was all there. I was, I wasn't sort of delirious or, away with the fairies or anything. But my body was just like, "You're done."
Shutting
my
down.
Mind wanted to keep going. He said to me, "Look, if you want to keep going, it's 10 Ks to the next aid station." He said, if you get halfway and then that's it, then we're going to either have to come and get you or, and that's when I just made the call. Yeah. And so, and then I had to sit on the back of a motorbike for 45 minutes to get out of there. So, that wasn't very comfortable, I can tell you.
No, that wouldn't be. That wouldn't be. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But it was at that point, I just got up to the top there and, a lot of people said, "Oh, do you think you could have walked it in?" And I don't think I could have.
Yeah.
It would have taken me another, it probably would have taken me another 15 hours, I reckon, to walk.
Yeah.
Walk the 40 Ks. And that's just not how I want to do it, and also I don't want to go back there next year and just complete it. I will still be going back there to to have a crack at it, but to hopefully learn from the last 2 years and this year again and the changes I've made. So,
absolutely. We were at the finish line, Matt and I, we were just gutted to hear what was going on out there for you. I just can't imagine what it must have been like for you to realise, not again.
Yeah. I said that to myself at about, I think it was 94K aid station, thereabouts. I can't remember which one that is. And the film crew were there filming me, and I just said to Rich, I just said, "It's happening again." I just knew straight away it was happening again. And it was just, I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
At that time, 40 Ks before that, I probably could have done something about it, but I didn't know. And then, I stupidly kept looking behind me because, I was like, I was in the lead. And it's just like, why were you doing that? You were 30 minutes up the road.
Yeah.
You sort of think, I could have slowed down maybe, or I could have walked for 10 minutes and I still would have been 20 minutes ahead, but that just didn't register with me.
Yeah.
It was like, keep pushing on. You'll come good. And I was just slowly,
There's a hole in the tank.
Yeah. And I sort of liken it to, a race car or a, you're trying to fuel a high performance vehicle on diesel where it should be running on premium, unleaded 98 or something, high octane sort of fuel. And I'm putting this crap stuff in.
Yeah.
And no wonder it's going to conk out eventually.
Yeah, the engine's going to keep it spluttering, isn't it? So what can you give me an idea of what you were eating or, what was your nutrition that didn't go well for you?
I started off having gels.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I got it wrong, is I should have been having the solid, like my Clif bars and my sandwiches early on and getting that stuff in while I still could. And then further, at the back end of the race or in the second half, then that's when the gels, because you don't want to sort of stomach any more solid stuff. So Yeah, but again, you know, my crew had made sandwiches and I would eat a couple of bites and then just throw it away because I just didn't want it.
Yeah, it was.
That's, and then, you know, you get to, I get to the aid station and what I learned, well, what I thought, I said to my crew, when I come into each aid station, I'm going to be at least 4 minutes. Yeah, let's keep me there for 4 minutes so I actually go and, because it's a smorgasbord. There's so much stuff there you can have.
Yeah.
Did I do that again? No, I just went in there, grabbed this and this, and I was gone. And I was still in that race mode. So this race coming up this weekend, I've got a lot better nutrition plan, hydration plan and sodium levels, all that sort of thing. And I will be forcing myself to just each aid station just reset a little bit and, you know, and go again.
I mean,
I've learned in the last 2 years that 3 or 4 minutes here and there is not going to cost you, you know, a lot of time, really.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do it, it's going to cost you the race or it's going to cost you hours and hours and hours and hours. So,
you're better off spending it.
I just found it both years. I found it very hard to run at my pace and digest solid stuff or take the time to get it down. But in saying that, at Talwera, there are certain parts of the course where you certainly can be hiking up a hill and that's the ideal time to be getting
some
solid
food
down. But again, do I hike up them slowly? No, I'm pushing it in the downhills. So unfortunately, that's just the way I've raced.
That's how you build.
And I will carry that on. It's just, you know, now hopefully now we've got a better plan.
So was that, you mentioned sort of having a bit of a post-race sort of debrief with Craig and so on. So can you talk us through that? What sort of, you know, what do you do? How do you sort of break things down and figure out, right, let's make some things, let's make some changes or whatever. How meticulous does it get?
It wasn't too meticulous. We looked around. We know it's nutrition and hydration. It was just, how do we go about it? Who do we talk to? And it just happened to be one of my sponsors, Tasman Cars. One of the owners or partners in that business is a V8 supercar driver, Andre Heitgartner. I've gotten to know him over this last 6 months because he delivered one of my cars down to me at Waiuku here. Obviously, I'm a Holden fan. So, well, actually, he drives Ford, but they delivered me my Holden. And we just happened to, they were checking out my other car in the garage and they saw all my bikes and asked sort of what I did. And I told them what I do and they just couldn't believe it. You go out on a bike for that long or you run that long. Anyway, long story short, I actually asked Andre because he's a professional race car driver and I know that they do a lot of fitness work and I know one lap of Bathurst in that race they're doing, I think each time they break is 120 kilo leg press.
Jeez.
So, you know, then they do 161 laps.
Yeah.
So I know they've got to be super fit. Anyway, I asked him, so he put me on to Josh Webb at 1% Performance and we just hit it off straight away. And he was like, I just send him a basic rundown of what happened at Talwera, how I go about things. I sent him my weekly diet or my nutrition that I have, you know, week in, week out, and what I do in a race. And he was just like, we got to go back to the, not go back to the drawing board, but there's a lot of stuff we can work on here.
Yeah.
And what I actually did do was I went and got a DNA test.
What's the story with that?
Well, that was Josh's recommendation. He gets all his motorsport athletes to get one done through Smart DNA in Australia.
Yeah.
So I've gotten in touch with, he put me onto a lady there. She's actually a Kiwi. Her name's Sue Barron. And yeah, we, that's what his recommendation was, based on we find out exactly what your DNA is and what you, what works and what doesn't, what red flags, what's good, what it's specific to you, rather than say going to someone who's a nutritionist and they say, oh, I think you should try this,
yeah,
because this is what I, it's how I do things.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I was like, well, okay. Yeah, well, let's, you know, I was at the point where I've got nothing to lose. You know, I was quite keen to try something different. And yeah, we did it. And it was just a swab test. And 5 weeks later, there was 51 pages of results.
Wow.
And most of it, I had, you look at it and it's just like, goes straight over my head.
Yeah.
Anyway, I talked to Sue for 2 hours and she went through it and basically she highlighted the key areas for me.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of green dots, which mean good, a few yellow ones, which are ones to look at, and then a lot of red dots, which are red flags.
Yeah.
You know, so all the ones that you would sort of think, obviously I've got the worrying gene.
Yeah.
You know, hence why I get anxiety. I've got the addictive gene. Why I'm covered in tattoos and do what I do, and why I used to drink like I used to drink, stuff like that. But the biggest one was I'm got really red flag for inflammation.
Oh, really? Ah, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So my DNA doesn't react well, you know, with inflammation in the body.
Yeah. So does
and
that...
It's, yeah.
And you can deal with that in your diet and your nutrition?
Yep. Yeah. Wow. So it's come, it sort of comes down to nutrition and supplements. So for me, I've just changed my diet to basically what you call an anti-inflammatory diet.
Yep.
What
sort of foods are they? What are you eating?
Oh, just, you know, so it's more what I've cut out. So I've cut out all my gluten and dairy.
Yep.
And processed foods. So, like, you know, I'd smash back packets of chips and crackers and all that sort of thing. Yeah, and it's all just processed foods, which is no good for my inflammation.
Yeah.
And it's funny, since I've done it, I've just sort of lost, I've probably lost 2 kilos of what I call inflammation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel a hell of a lot better. Processed meats like your salamis and your hams and stuff like that, all in the, and stuff that's in packets. And so, yeah, just did a bit of a dietary tweak and change and, you know, lots of complex carbohydrates, fish, lots of fish. Because my DNA, yeah, I react well with the omega-3s, like all your avocados, your nuts, seeds, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Limit the red meat. I'm from Waiuku and we've got farmland and home-killed meats, you know, all the, you know, so we've always got a freezer full of meat, but it's, you know, it's having good quality meat. And the biggest inflammation, you know, thing is sugar.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I look back at what I was going through a week, in terms of blocks of chocolate, tubs of ice cream, because you can, well, because I can, because I run so much and, you know, I just thought, oh, well, you know, you burn so many, many calories, it doesn't matter. But it does, because it's just causing me inflammation and, you know, and that affects my recovery and sleep, gut issues. Not that I really had gut. I mean, I've got a bit of a cast iron stomach. I can eat sort of what I want, but I did have gut issues.
Yeah.
We won't go into that, but, you know, so, so that was all in the DNA. And
wow,
that was really super interesting. But I did on the good side of things was I've got the perfect DNA for ultra endurance sport. I've got a good VO2 max. I've got a good endurance gene, and I've got a good fast twitch fibers. So that's, you know, But if you're not doing, if you're not fixing up the red dots or the things that are really big red flags, you know, that that green stuff is, you're not going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
And also the DNA picked up a lot more carbs, need a lot more carbs.
Right.
Yeah. So, and you know, complex carbs, you know, your kumara and and all your vegetables, lots of colourful stuff.
So it doesn't mean chips. It means good carbs.
Yeah. You know, and whereas I'd go, you know, I'd be walking through the supermarket and I'd grab two bags of chips and they'd be gone. One would be gone by the time I get home, and one would be, you know, I'd have it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not going to have chips or anything like that, but it's, you know, just limiting the stuff. Whereas that addictive's gene would just say, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got the gene that doesn't know when I'm full.
Right. Yeah.
So, I can just eat until, it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You just basically can't stuff anymore in your face. So, yeah, that was a huge thing. So, you know, once I got that done from Sue, then that went back to Josh. Then we just formulated a plan along with Craig, with nutrition, hydration, the sweat test, obviously, and just added that all in. And then it got into, you know, training a bit smarter.
Yeah. Knowledge is power, right? Knowledge is power, eh? You know, you could have gone through the same process by trial and error, maybe, you know, but that would have taken bloody ages. But instead, you've been able to identify some things to work on. And how good is that? You know, much better that than them come back to you and go, I don't know, everything seems fine.
Yeah. And that's Paula said to me, she said, I think you need to invest in all of this if you're going to want to keep competing in an elite level.
Yeah.
If I was just to go back to Tauwera next year and say, you know, tick it off the list.
Yep, just going to finish. You know,
and finish, I probably wouldn't have dived into things like I have done over the last 3 months. But I'm quite glad I have because it's all a new learning experience for me. Even to the point where I've, you know, Simon and I have done a lot of training together over the last 3 months.
Yep.
And it's funny. So he sort of done, we did the sweat test and we both sort of were like, you know, these long runs we do on the weekends, we're so beaten up from them because we're running literally just off race pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
For them. In a run where it should be going out and enjoying, I mean, I know, you know, it's like 5 hours on your feet is a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that, I don't know, a little voice in my head always would say, oh, you got to clock up at least 64 Ks today.
Right.
In 5 hours.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And Simon and I, we know we can do that.
Yeah.
But what we did is we were like, well, okay, rather than worrying about distance or pace or whatever, let's just go and run five. Let's just go and enjoy 5 hours of, you know, and focus more on the nutrition, the hydration, stopping when we needed to stop. And, you know, we've hit the Waikato River trails a few times.
Yeah, you've been getting out there, haven't you? Yeah. And seeing some different Cambridge trails. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's out and backs, you know, it's not, you know, you can't just go and run, or you can actually run 60 Ks one direction, but you've got to get picked up and all that. So we just stick to the trails and hey, it's not, you know, it's not, we're not in search of huge elevation or anything like that. We're, you know, we just go out. It was more for us to just peg it back a bit and focus on other things. And I tell you what, it's been a huge benefit for that following week of run training. I've been able to go into that following week, I wouldn't say fresh because you've run 5 hours, but you can actually manage the interval training or the specifics, key sessions you've got during the week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the weekends become your more longer, sociable runs.
You're not beating yourself up.
And you're not beaten up. Mm. And whereas last summer leading up to Tauwera, Simon and I, because he did the 100 at Tauwera, we were getting back after those long runs and we were just like wrecked.
Mm.
You know, like hands in your head in your hands type of thing, just going, oh, that was a killer session. You know, we smashed it. But that's all good and well, but, you know, the next few days you just suffered like a dog. And
yeah.
And I think what it was doing to me was slowly, you know, sort of whittling me down where to the point where I possibly just pushed a bit too much over the summer. Mm. And that's just no one else to blame but myself.
Sure.
But there's a lot of things, but, you know, that I sort of look back on, but just learn from them.
Oh, absolutely. You got to. And that's the thing. You learn from them and you've made those changes. You know what to expect now. You know what's in front of you, and it's. I think you're in a good position. It's, you know, I admire too that, you know, someone who's at your level and has achieved what you have can still go, yep, I need to learn. You don't. You're not kind of sitting there going, you know, you're not being arrogant and going, oh well, I'm bloody Carl Reed, I'll do this. you're kind of you're going, all right, what can I learn? I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I just sort of thought, you know, if I don't do it now, then that's sort of going to be it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll try another one and I'll absolutely hate it. And then that's it. I'll fall off the radar and, you know, you won't see me again sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do it like that. And I certainly, you know, I certainly got a lot more I want to achieve.
Yeah.
And, it's been funny actually. You know, in the last few weeks, I've actually been to a local school and talked about how, you know, it's okay to fail or not do so well, but, you know, as long as you're willing to try again and learn from it, and give it another go, is what I've sort of found. Yeah, it's what I'm keen to carry on with.
Well, I mean, I mean it's different, almost a different sport, but at the Athens Olympics, I watched Hisham El Garouch, so Moroccan 1500 meter runner, held the world record in 1500 meters, went in 1996, you know, as the out and out favorite, got spiked and didn't win. So went again in 2000 and tried to lead from the front to avoid getting spiked, and basically, you know, just had runners sit on his shoulder and then toast him right in the end. So he lost again, and he was utterly broken. But he didn't step away. He went back again in 2004. He ran a smart race and he came home with the gold.
I remember that.
And won the 5,000 as well, actually, in the same Olympics.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, I've had to understand at that level, but imagine how much more rewarding that was, having gone through what he did. You know, at the time, he was broken. You know, he was in tears in Sydney. But that experience that he'd been through, being put to the flame like that twice, just made it all the more rewarding in Athens. That's the thing.
Yeah, there was the rower on the news last night.
Mahi Drysdale, no?
No, the late, the girl, Twig.
Oh, Emma Twig, yeah.
So she's going back again. And just watch, she's fourth and fourth and fourth. So, it's seeing stuff like that also inspires me, you know, that you're not the only one who fails and you know, you pick yourself up and give it another go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just
I'm certainly very nervous about this weekend.
Yeah,
because it's still an unknown.
Sure,
you know, like I haven't got to that 140k or 150k, you know, or what, to go. So, but that excites me as well.
Yeah,
and it's a good nervy feeling.
Mm. Nerves are not a bad thing.
I'm probably more nervous about that he's flying and wearing mask and as long as I don't get stuck over there, like, you know, my good friend Rob Dalymore and Cam, they've actually just got back from Melbourne last week. They've been stuck there for 3 weeks. So, but it is what it is. You know,
It's the world we're in.
The world we're in at the moment.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just very fortunate to have been able to race this year and you know, in New Zealand, we've been able to do all these events, you know, like Ironman and Kauwera and Rotorua Marathon and
So you went down to you lined up at Ironman just a couple of weeks after Tarawera. What did your body think about you doing that?
It hated it. I crammed basically 5 weeks. That lockdown actually was good for me because it extended the time I had to prep.
Yeah.
So it went from a 3 week Ironman prep to a 5 week.
Yeah.
I'd swum twice in the last 6 months leading up to Tarawera.
Yeah.
Actually. So I'd swum twice. And that was the hardest thing, was getting back into swimming 3-4 times a week. And it was just amazing how much swim fitness I had actually lost.
Right.
I worked so hard over the course of 4 or 5 years to get my swim where it needed to be at the elite level.
Yeah.
And even then I was only second pack swimmer, but to just lose that all, it was a little bit demoralizing.
Yeah.
I did a couple of long rides. I think I did a 180K ride, and I did a few long runs, but yeah, it was cramming as much as I could, and along with recovery as well, into 5 weeks. But Ironman, I swam actually okay for no swimming, really. The bike, the first 30Ks was all right. I then got sore ITB, hip. I've had a lot of trouble since Tarawera on my right-hand side, and that's just to do with instability.
Yep.
And because I hadn't ridden a time trial bike for months, and you hop on it and you try to race 180K on a time trial bike, your body's just not going to come to the party. I was about 15 minutes off where I should have been on the bike, really. But, you know, if you look back at it, you go, well, you only did 4 weeks of bike training. And then I ran, and my ITB was again giving me issues, so I couldn't push the run as much as I wanted to. I got the job done, and I enjoyed it as much as I could. I was second in my age group, so, you know, I'll take that. And it was just cool to be a part of the event down there again, catch up with all the Ironman crew that were at Tarawera.
Yeah.
They all thought I was mad for lining up again. I saw Peps and Dave and all that at the. They were just like stoked that I'd finished.
Yeah,
they were just real happy that I'd finished. So seeing all those guys, and it was pretty cool. Yeah, so I was glad I lined up for that.
Yeah,
because I thought about not going down there, but it's just such an iconic New Zealand race that I think despite. No matter what I'm doing, I think I'll line up for it every year.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I don't know, I just love being down in Taupo.
Yeah. So, it's a great atmosphere and stuff, isn't it? You know, it's a great thing to be part of. Yeah. And as you mentioned, you and Simon paced the 3R group at Rotorua. It looked like you guys had quite a bit of fun doing that.
That was, that was heaps of fun. Simon and I just... he asked me, are you keen to pace the sub 3 hour group? And I was like, oh, yeah. And we sort of crunched the numbers and we're like, you still got to run pretty solid for it. But we knew that we were capable of pacing it well. And that's what we did. And we started off with probably about a dozen people with us. And that sort of got, by the halfway mark, that sort of dropped down to about 4 or 5. But then those 4 or 5 guys actually... they just sat behind us. I said, as long as you sit behind us, we're going to run at the pace that you need to run at, if not slightly quicker, to give you the chance of going well under 3 hours.
And give you a buffer.
Mm. About 4 of them did.
Yep.
And they came up to us afterwards and said, that was a PB. And we weren't just, 2:59. We were 2:56, 2:55. And I think Simon and I rolled in 2:57.
Yep.
So, but it was heaps of fun. We both said, seeing the lead guys take off up the road and not being there or giving it a go was hard.
Yeah.
I was like, if I had good legs today, I wonder what I could have done. A couple of the guys were you know, in that mid-230s range. Yeah, and I was like, oh, you know, that's, you know, if I had good legs, that could have, I could have been up there. But, you know, I was there to do a, you know, to do a job. And, and yeah, it was good fun. I'd certainly do it again.
Yeah. It's quite rewarding, eh?
Yeah, it was really rewarding. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I was an hour down the road from you. I was doing the four-hour group. And like you say, I mean, you know, obviously I'm not an elite runner, but by any stretch. So, but so it was still, you know, it was comfortable. I could do it comfortably, but I couldn't slack off. You know, it was like I still had to work.
Exactly. Yeah.
You still have to work.
Yeah.
And if you and a marathon's a marathon. If you don't respect it, it's going to kick your butt. So you still got to work hard. And also, what I kind of almost got a bit stressed out about the responsibility. Of kind of, you know, like I can't stuff this up because people are counting on me.
Yeah, I said to Simon, I said, luckily there's two of us because if one of us blows up, because that could happen.
Absolutely,
and,
you know, it can.
And then the pressure's all on you. And I said, crikey, if we both blow up, well then, yeah, people are going to be pretty annoyed.
That's right.
So, no pressure sort of thing. So it was, but it was good fun. Yeah, yeah. We were both pretty stoked when we finished, not for us, you know, going under 3 hours, but for the guys that, you know, who were there and who came up to us afterwards and said, oh, hey, thank you for that. And one of my mates here in Woku, he said to me, he was 2:58 and he said, if I wasn't following you guys, I would have just drifted off and just cruised around at 3:05 or 3:10. Yeah. He said, you actually, you know, you guys yelling to say, you know, hang in there and stay with us. He said that got him to a 2:58.
Brilliant. So, brilliant. Yeah.
Take that either.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, you mentioned earlier on the Wim Hof stuff and the breathing. So how did that come about and how's that going for you?
My physio actually said to me, have you done it? This was after Tauwera.
Yeah.
Have you done anything about your anxiety and your breathing? And because I get a lot of tension around my chest area and just through, you know, obviously all the running and the stress of that you put your body through running, but also just my general, you know, stresses in life with work and the pressure I put on myself with training and obviously getting anxiety and all that. And so she said to me, oh, you know, here, download the Wim Hof app and just give it a trial. You get, I can't remember how many days it was a trial period. And then I sort of was like, oh, well, I think I started off the breathing exercises, you breathe in and out for 30 breaths, just nice breathing controlled. And then you hold your breath for as long as you can. And then that's one round. And then you do that. Oh, then you hold your breath for 15 seconds. And then that's one round. You'd go again. I started off and I was barely over a minute.
Yeah.
You know, for each round. And I'd do 4 or 5 rounds and you'd feel quite sort of tired after it because you're holding your breath. And I generally do it at night when I just before I go to bed because I find it helps me sleep or get to sleep easier. And my breathing's a lot more settled and that sort of de-stresses me. And now I'm up to, I'm well into nearly up to 3 minutes for each round. So it
brilliant.
Certainly, for me, it works.
Yeah.
And I'd recommend anyone give it a go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also, I like the fact that it's a bit of a challenge as well, see if I can break, you know, 3 minutes tonight for one round or something, you know, you're nearly passing out and they do warn you that you could pass out if you overdo it, but there's also other things on his app like press up challenges and cold showers.
Yeah.
So I was doing cold showers, and that certainly, puts the body through you hyperventilate, and once you sort of get a handle of it's not so bad. Like hopping into an ice bath. It's that
gasp
initial. Shock to the system, and then you sort of relax. But it does sort of revitalize you a bit.
Yeah.
But the breathing thing certainly for me works.
Yeah. And it's helping with the anxiety.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the anxiety is gone. It's still sure. there, and I, you know, it's what happens every day for me, really.
Yep.
I've just got to, you know, take some time out during the, you know, when I do get a bit, you know, sort of worked up or whatever, and yeah, you can just go do a couple of rounds of the breathing exercises, yeah. or I go, you know, out into the garage where I now have got a little bit of, I wouldn't call it gym gear. It's like a Swiss ball and some resistance bands. But I just go out there, you know, and just activate, you know, just do a little bit of stability and activation stuff. Get away from my computer or,
yep.
You know, stuff like that, which, you know, because at the moment work is absolutely out of control. So, right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really busy, but, you know, I've got to have that little, those moments where I can just sort of relax,
yeah,
or else I end up just, you know, on full steam ahead and then I crash and burn. So,
right. Yeah, yeah. But it's just another tool, another yeah. tool, yeah, something yeah. you can use. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm conscious that I've kept you for nearly an hour here. I really appreciate it. Time's flying by. I had a bunch of stuff to talk to you about that we haven't even got to yet because it's just
that's
fascinating. But yeah, I really appreciate it, and I'm really looking forward to this week to seeing how you go. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea that you're going for something that's different. You know, that it's not, you're not trying to replicate what Tarawera is. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
And you've made these changes. You've got these different skills. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, you're right. Like Tarawera is so unique and so. I'm just going to leave that there.
Yep.
Because I'm coming back to that.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, another, it's a slightly different path that I'm going to just focus on for, you know, this weekend. And it, hopefully it's a stepping stone towards, you know, a bit of redemption again and that monkey off my back for Tarawera next year. But in saying that, you know, there's a few things I've got in mind before Tarawera next year, which I'm looking forward to again. And, yep.
Have you got any other races lined up that you want to talk about? Or?
I'm looking at. Oh no, I've signed up for the Tauranga 50K
yep.
Ultra Road
yep.
run
yep.
That Jason's running.
Yep.
So that's September, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do the marathon, and then so Jason was hitting me and Simon up, and I think he's going to hit up like Vossi and.
Yeah.
A few others to come down and race the 50K. I said to him, you don't need to talk to Vossi because then we've got no chance. So, but, you know, I sort of looked at the course and I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, most of it's on the road. See how fast you can go around the base track. And so that's a 50K. So I'll do that in September. And then
that's Craig's hometown, isn't it?
What's that?
It's Craig Kirkwood's hometown, isn't it?
Secrets. CK might dust off the race shoes and come out and run.
Yeah.
And then I've signed up for the Taupo 100K again.
Yep, brilliant.
Yeah. So that race is spectacular, as you know. And the last 2 years have been pretty good for me. So, you know, I'd like to go back, and Simon's keen to race it. And hopefully, you know, the likes of Nick Johnson, who's won it before me.
Yep.
You know, so I would really love to see half a dozen, if not more, guys on that start line who won a race.
Yeah,
Because I think it's the sort of course where you could race it pretty well, and if you're having a good day, you could go well under 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, last year I went 8:03, and someone – said to me, oh, do you think you could have gone under 8 hours? And I didn't even think I'd even go that close. So, and that was solo the whole day. So I would, you know, I even said to Simon, oh man, if it was me, you and Nick and a couple of other guys who were in a group, you know, for however long, it would certainly, you know, and there's every chance it could go pear-shaped for any of us, but to be in a race situation in such a long day would be quite cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, those are on the cards. And then I suppose, it'll be sort of prepping or making a plan for Tarawera and making a smart plan for that and not going, I've got to have a massive summer of so of not, running, you know, doing a bit of other things as well.
Yeah, not cooking yourself like you recognise that you're doing. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'm real excited for you, man. It's both for this weekend and then what you got lined up, and you know, it's you're in a great position, I think.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It was tough after Tauwera, but
of course,
like I think I said in my video, it was I got over that pretty quickly. Yeah, I mean, I certainly think about it still, you know, what ifs, but I just watched that video and just go, oh, you silly bugger, but yeah, it's can't do much about it. And Alan, who's the race director over at Brisbane, he's actually given me some really good advice. You know, he said you're not the first one to, DNF 2 milers, and you won't be the last. No. And he said, just chill the F out, when you race, just go into these races with a bit more sort of weight off your shoulders, and that not only in the race, but also he was saying in the lead ups to in those big training days on a Saturday, it's that sort of advice has stuck, and a lot with everyone else's advice and the things that I've been learning. So definitely in a good space.
Yeah, brilliant. Hey, we ask that question we ask everyone, and you answered this last time, but you might have a different answer this time. But Carl Reed, what's your greatest run ever? So it doesn't have to be a race, just a run, and it might be one of these ones that you've been doing with Simon, but just a run that you it really sticks in your mind, puts a smile on your face, makes you feel good about running.
Yeah, that is a good question, and there's so many answers I could give, but I think the one that sticks out sort of more recently is the Taupo 100K last year. That race and that the course is brutal, but it's so good. It's you can't compare it to Tauwera. It's totally different.
Yep.
It's unique. It's all runnable. Some of those views once the sun comes up and you're running down that valley and you see the waterfalls and then you're heading towards the lake. Yeah, that really sticks out for me, that race, and it's why I keep sort of wanting to go back to it.
Yeah.
I thought to myself this year, maybe I won't go this year because I've done it the last 2 years, do something different. But I can't really say no.
That's
definitely one on that I think people should put on their bucket list.
Definitely. All right. Hey, that's brilliant. Well, thank you very much, mate, and all the best for this weekend.
Yeah. Cheers. Appreciate it. Good to chat.
Well, Carl, always amazing to listen to him. Thank you so much again, mate, and look forward to seeing how you go next year and in those other races that you've got coming up. Look, thank you everyone for tuning in. A bit of a strange show this week, so thank you for bearing with me. We are on social media at Dirt Church Radio, email dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. You can find us on all the podcast platforms. You can like and subscribe, and you can download direct from the website, dirtchurchradio.com. Don't forget, as I said, to write in with your greatest run ever. We love hearing from you with them, and you can read them on the website too, and heaps of people do. Thank you to our sponsors, Scott Running, Further Faster, Spring Energy, and CLE, and thank you to our Patreon supporters and Wild Things. Thank you to our editor, Kieran. We've got a great show lined up for next week. Get better soon, Lola. I hope you're feeling better, Matt, and I hope that hospital cat is not missing your pats too much. Let's catch up again next week. Ka kite anō. Thanks, Rigby.